There you go, that's Frank Sinatra there and Young at Heart. And on the line now, I have Conor Dodd, curator and historian from the Glasnevin Museum. Hello, good afternoon, Conor, how are you?
Not too bad at all.
Now, first of all, a good few years ago, I did the tour on at the cemetery, but I did one there just after Christmas. It was really cold. Great crowd, though, I must say. There was a great number. And another thing I noticed as well, there's a couple of tours go on at different intervals, nearly at the same time, but starting from different areas. So it was even though it was freezing cold, very, very busy. So they seem to be getting maybe always popular, but more popular.
Yeah, we've been having huge numbers here. It's been building and building, you know, since we started here in 2010 with the museum. And the tours, I suppose, kind of word of mouth. People are talking more and more about us and are telling people about kind of the experiences they've had here. It's certainly one of the things, I suppose, when people are thinking about what to do on a Sunday, they don't maybe immediately think to come here, to come on a historical tour. But when they hear kind of the good reviews that we're getting from people and the positive experiences they've had, it's certainly helping. So we used to have a bit of a lull, I suppose, during the winter with the bad weather and things, but it's fairly busy now all year round.
Yeah, I found it hard to believe, really, honest to God now, because I think there was about 22, 23, I counted, that was on the tour I was on. But as I said, I passed another one with a lot of... So the schools are in the equation quite a lot as well. Is that all year round as well?
Yeah, the schools, I suppose, they're here during their term times and things, and we get all sorts of age groups. You know, we get a great mix. We get a great mix of people, and I suppose one of the beauties about what we have here is that we can cater for all sorts of groups. Because no matter what your interest is, you can be almost guaranteed that there'll be something here that'll relate to it. So the schools find it very positive, I suppose, because a lot of what we have here directly relates to what's in the curriculum and things like that. So more and more of them are coming here each year. And it's great because it essentially what it does is it all goes back into maintaining the cemetery. We've a huge restoration program which has been ongoing here for a number of years now. And what we're trying to do is essentially make sure that this site is here for generations to come, and that they'll be able to come for many years and learn about the history of the place and the history of the country as well.
Yeah, it's a wonderful legacy. I had my son with me, he was amazed, and he actually lives in Madrid at the moment, and he can't wait to come back and go. He wants to go on it again, actually,
Very good. In
the summer. So are you getting that sort of repeat people coming back? Because there's a lot to take in just for one tour.
Yeah, we get a huge number of people coming back, and every now and again as well, we'll do kind of alternative tours to the general tour that we do. We'd have specific tours, whether it's a tour related to the First World War, or a women's tour, or a Joycean tour. As I was saying, you know, there's a multitude of different things that you can do, and there's no end to it, really. You know, every single week here, we're discovering more and more stories of all these people that are buried here, and that's what we essentially have. We've 1.5 million different stories, and we're hoping to preserve those for as long as possible, and try and share that with people, I suppose, and be of benefit, really, to members of the public who can come along and see what we're doing here and learn about some of those stories.
Yeah, as you said yourself, you got word of mouth, you got people going and then wanting to repeat going because it's hard to take it on. But of course, that TV programme, and also I think it was in the cinema, 1 Million Dubliners, that was a wonderful, wonderful way of showing the museum and the cemetery in a great historic light.
Yeah, it's definitely had a big effect, I suppose, and people who've been coming here, I suppose they understand maybe more exactly what's involved, and there's a lot of different aspects to what we do here. You know, as you're saying, the museum and the tours is one aspect of it, but also then as well, this is a place where people still come every day to bury their loved ones. So it's it's a unique place in many ways, and I think people got an insight into that. They also got an insight as well, I suppose, into the way that the people who work here really care about the place and really want to ensure that that it is here for the next generation. It's such an important place in our history, and it's such an important place for the country that it's somewhere that none of us ever want to have to, you know, walk away from when it eventually does become a cemetery which isn't working anymore in terms of burials and things like that, you know. So that's why the museum is here. That's why the tours are here, to try and ensure that it can keep going for forever, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, as I said, I mean, the restoration, absolutely impeccable and wonderful, wonderful. Even apart from any tours, museums, just to walk through the cemetery itself is a tour in itself, to watch the restoration that happened. And with all that's happening with the tour, the museum, you're adding things all the time as well, because you have some upcoming events. Can we talk about those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've a very busy year, I suppose, this year. There's been a lot of focus on the decade of centenaries, as they're calling it. And really, it's been very busy now. Recently, we've been obviously looking at the likes of the 1913 lockout and the foundation of the Irish Volunteers, and also then the outbreak of the First World War as well. And this year now, I suppose the event that really stands out and the largest event we'll have here will be the centenary of the funeral of Jeremiah O'Donovan Rossa, at which, of course, Patrick Pearse gave one of the most famous speeches in Irish history. And the centenary of that funeral and of that speech will be on the 1st of August this year. So at the moment, we have a temporary exhibition relating to the outbreak of the First World War and the people who are buried here in the cemetery who are involved in it. And after that, then we'll be turning our eyes towards the O'Donovan Rossa funeral, which of course really is the moment which sets us on the path to the 1916 Rising. So essentially, it's the opening of the events and commemorations to mark the centenary of the Rising. So that'll be a huge event for us here, and that'll be alongside other things as well. You know, I suppose a lot of us are fixed on 100 years ago, but 200 years ago there was a lot of stuff happening as well. We have this Sunday, actually, we have a dramatic reenactment of a very famous event in the life of Daniel O'Connell, who, of course, was very important in terms of the foundation of the cemetery here at Glasnevin. He was involved in a duel on the 1st of February 1815 with a man called John Norcott de Stair, and it was an event which really changed and coloured his life. So we'll be marking that. And also then, of course, you have the bicentenary of Waterloo as well in June. So there's lots of different things happening alongside all of those centenaries as well, related to the First World War and so on. So it'll be an extremely busy year, and I'm sure it'll be some very busy years to come as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. As I say, a lot of that is mentioned in the tour as well. And when you go upstairs into the museum, some of the mementos and relics you have there from the First World War as well, terrific. Like the cigarette container that saved a man's life that was in his jacket pocket. The computers, I'm sure you can. How specific they are, if you want to find out about someone individually, when it gives you choices, which are terrific as well. So I'm sure they change around all the time when you decide to change different exhibitions.
Yeah, we're constantly, this is one of the things as well you're kind of mentioning about people coming back, we're constantly trying to give people something new so they can come back and see the place in a whole new light. And I suppose when we're here day to day, I always see something every single day that I come in here. So, you know, if people come back once or twice, they're sure to see something new. As you say, we've got a timeline, as you're saying, with kind of the stories of about 200 different individuals who are buried here in the cemetery. But also then alongside that, we have all the records. We're very lucky, you know, we have the records of every single person who's buried here, going back to the very first person in 1832 to the present day. So we've digitized all of those. So even if somebody wants to come along and find out about a relative, they can do that. And it's fairly easy to be able to search for them and find where they are. And we know exactly where every grave is in the cemetery, even if it isn't necessarily marked. So A lot of the big names, I suppose, the likes of O'Connell and Parnell and Collins and all of these characters, people know about them, but we're aware of every single person who's here, and we've been trying to keep their memory alive as well for years to come. So as you're saying as well, you know, the exhibition, the First World War exhibition, we were very lucky with that because what we did was we kind of took a unique view on it. We said we'd try and go to members of the public and ask them what they had relating to their own relations who may have fought during the war or served during that period. And we got a huge reaction. We got a lot of stuff coming back. So people are great. We try to engage with people as much as we can. You know, it's a site which belongs to everybody, essentially, you know, and we try and promote that and try and engage with people as much as possible.
Okay, you mentioned the exhibition there. That's running on the 30th of June. And finally, Conor, you're having spring lecture series as well?
We are indeed, yeah. We're having a series of lectures. We've been doing this now for a couple of years, so that'll be starting very soon. You can find details of that on our website. So we'll have speakers in. The theme for this year is essentially what some of the bigger characters or more well-known people of the 1916 Rising were doing at this time 100 years ago. So what were they doing in 1915? You know, we'd know what happened to them a year later, but it's the run-up to that, and that feeds in, obviously, with the O'Donovan Rossa funeral and the lead up to it. So we'll be having a number of series, and if anybody wants to come along to those, you can find out more details on our website. It's glasnevintrust.ie.
Glasnevintrust.ie. Okay, Conor, well, as I said, I was there just a couple of weeks ago, just after Christmas, and I'll be there again in the summer, so I hope to see you there. But for the moment, thank you very
Brilliant.
Much, Conor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Conor Dodd, curator and historian with the Glasnevin Museum. It's really wonderful. I mean, there's nothing I can say about it. It's just everything about it. I'd say you'd want a couple of visits, actually, to cover everything. But even just to walk through, they have an opening through. I meant to mention to Conor there, going to the Botanic Gardens as well. So you can just flow from one into the other if you have a whole day to spare.